I remember when I was a missionary in Nepal, and it was our first Christmas, and we were feeling a bit lonely and a bit isolated, and we were walking down the main street of Pokhara in the bazaar, and suddenly over the radio there burst, "Hark, the herald angels sing." It was just as though God was speaking to us. And I think this radio program is absolutely super. But you know, we don't only have the radio program, we don't only have KYB, we don't only have all these things we've been talking about, but in 1958, when CWCI started, no one had any idea of how it was going to spread. And today, I don't know if you realize it, girls, but we are in contact on our international scene. We are in contact, well, we know that actively CWCI is working in at least 20 countries. I mean, that's super, isn't it? And now you've got no time to clap or anything. There's no time for that. But when we go to another country, they usually ask, "Oh, where did it start?" Forgive me. Because they usually think you're going to say America. And it's absolutely fabulous. The Satan started in America, started in Australia. And to think that the women of Australia have this tremendous missionary outreach. Because you see, what a joy it is to be able to help nationals, expats working, not as we think of missionaries, usually the women out there with their husbands, Christian women, expats working in different parts of the world, and of course missionaries, and they really need help to have a simple Bible study in the local language, if they speak that language, and know your Bible seems just to fit the bill. I love to go to another country and realize that the lovely Holy Spirit interprets God's word to every sort of woman. Whether they're clever or able, or whether they're whatever they are. And it's amazing to see that. You listen to this letter from Botswana. This is an expat out there. And she writes this: "A leap of faith was called for." Remember the song? Just a little bit of faith, or something it was, wasn't it? A little bit of faith, a leap of faith was called for, so I decided to advertise that a KYB class would be starting. This is in Francistown in Botswana. If you don't know where Botswana is, ask me afterwards. "For 3 weeks, I put up notices in the town, in the local paper, spoke in church and to other ministers, visited and rang up ladies, gave out handouts on KYB and prayed. I drew maps on how to get to me. 9 ladies turned up and we had a glorious time together. We sang, prayed." They're not supposed to do that in a Know Your Bible class. "We sang, prayed and shared God's word from lesson 1 in the Life of Christ series. Together we are black and white and hail from 5 different countries. But the oneness and bonding felt at our first meeting was incredible. We were one in the spirit as he linked us together with bonds that will never be broken. P.S. We are all being blessed by the Know Your Bible studies and now have 12 ladies from 6, could be 7 different countries. Isn't the Lord wonderful?" But listen to this one, and you know where it comes from: Nepal. It comes from Kathmandu, and it's a Nepali, and she writes this way: "Dear sister," isn't it nice? "Here is one incident which encouraged me and will surely encourage to you. Just 1 week back, we had KYB Nepali class in our church. One girl, around 18 years of age, came in that class. We had a lesson on Martha and Mary. That particular girl, who was a heart patient, was comforted so much. Her faith was not much in Jesus, but she repented and renewed her faith in Christ. Just after 2 days of our Bible study, she died in the Lord. She had her all Hindu relatives, but when she was dying, according to her sister, she remembered the Lord and told them they must call on me to help them to have a Christian burial when she dies. That's know your Bible, girls. And I think it's tremendous that so much is going on. But I've got something else exciting. Many of you will remember Vera when she was here 2 years ago from Russia. And she spoke to us and she warmed our hearts. And I've got somebody here. Come on, Margaret, wherever you are. Give Margaret a little clap because she comes from England. We've got Margaret here. And Margaret went with Gillian, who's also here somewhere in this mass of women, and they actually went to Russia to see how Vera was getting on. Margaret, tell us something. Why did you go to Russia and who financed it?
Well, Vera invited us, and this was in response to the International Board, who wished to support Vera and encourage her in what she was doing and to find out firsthand what was actually happening in Russia. Now, I was financed by the International Board, and Gillian, who's here, she was financed by the UK National Management Board. It was felt that it would be good for someone else to go with me, and I was very, very glad of that. And we were helped in this by some conventions in the UK and Know Your Bible groups who gave money.
How lovely. Yes. Lovely. Yes. And did you have opportunity to have a KYB session while you were there?
Well, we knew that we were a late addition to a conference that had already been organized, and a group of American women were running this training conference, but they said, you can have one session on how to use the KYB, but God overruled. And when we went, the two women who were to take the Bible study sessions had been unable to come.
So you had both?
We had four.
Ah, lovely.
We had four sessions. So that was tremendous. And God had given us very helpful preparation before we left from some very valuable people. And we had enough material. So we were able to give a fuller explanation of KYB and run a KYB, a full KYB study. Now you try that when you have to do it through a translator and there is a room full of women all trying to speak to you at the same time.
Lovely. Well, Margaret, what really impressed you most about the visit?
Well, you mentioned the word Russia or the word Chechnya to Gillian and I, and we are gone. We're back in a small conference room in Moscow that's full of 70 women from all over Russia with headscarves on their heads, with much suffering from years of persecution on their faces. And often they would stand and pray, tears streaming down their faces as they prayed for their families, for their villages, for their country, because they have an incredible desire to let everyone know about Jesus, that they might come to repentance. And we have never encountered such an incredible hunger for the Word of God. And so we were excited at this potential. They pray, many of them have a program to pray all night. Many of them fast a day or 2 days before they take communion. And this is an inspiration to us. It makes us feel that we've lost our way a bit in the West. They think we have had the Bible all this time. We must know. We must know more than they do. But they have a simple trust in God, a great faith. What potential for the work of CWCI and KYB throughout the whole of the CIS. We want to thank those of you who prayed. We want all of you to pray. Pray for Vera. She has an incredible burden of responsibility. But pray too for Marina and Yekaterina that we met, because we've just heard they're going to come to our national conference in the UK. And we want to see this work going on as God intends. And this is absolutely incredible.
See, incredible and exciting. Thanks, Margaret. When I went up to PNG and I went to India, Sharon McKenzie, who's on our international board, came with me. Sharon. And one of the exciting things that's going to happen is happening, is the work in Zimbabwe. And Sharon has got some lovely information of how the girls there are really looking forward and planning all sorts of things. Thank you, Sharon.
I do. You might remember that when Vera was on this platform, one of the other girls who had an opportunity to speak with you was Bev Lawson. She was the chairman, she still is the chairman, of the National Committee in Zimbabwe. Now, she made an appeal from this platform that day for books and for handcraft material. Perhaps some of you girls contributed to that. And if you did, you might like to read the thank you letter that Bev has sent that tells what it meant to those girls to know that their Aussie Sisters in Christ really were really involved with them and wanted to help them. And Beth's letter has only come this week, and it's in this small room to the side. Now, I've also spoken to Beth this week. You know, to establish a new work in a country is a very hard thing to do, and it takes a long time. And in these past 2 years, Beth has been faithfully going on and having little coffee and dessert evenings. And this very day, although they're 5 hours behind or something like that, but this very day, Bev and some National Committee girls are going over. They're based in Harare, the capital of Zimbabwe, and they're going to travel to Mutare, and they're going to have a KYB workshop there to try and encourage women into KYB leadership. So tomorrow morning, in your prayer time here, please do cover those girls in prayer, all those girls who will be contacted in Mutare today. And then Bev and the committee have this great dream that in the next 12 months, they want to go as a team to other centres in Zimbabwe, promoting the ministry of CWCI and KYB. And so they intend, first of all, they're going to Mutare today, and then they want to go to the other major centres. That'll be Bulawayo, Gweru, and Masvingo. And so they're the towns that these girls are really wanting to develop a KYB and a CWCI ministry. So they're going to go out this year promoting, and they have, because Bev has been here and has tasted what we take so much for granted, this great privilege of being in a gathering of women where we are really being built up in our faith by the speakers, by the fellowship we're sharing, by the music, all those things. Because Bev has experienced that, she has a tremendous vision, a real burden. Would it be possible to do such a thing in Zimbabwe? Well, it would be a very hard thing. We can't appreciate how difficult it is just to travel in a country like that. How very few people have cars, so they have to travel on public transport, which is uncomfortable to say the least. The roads are not good. Just the logistics of getting a small gathering of 30 or 40 women from vast distances to come together for a weekend convention is a huge thing. But that's what Bev has on her heart, and that's what she asks us to pray for them as they try to lay this dream before the Lord and see whether or not it's possible for the women in Zimbabwe to experience something of what we have when we come to a weekend.
Thank you, Sharon. And we're praying, the International Board are praying, that may be able to send two people over to help them. Now, girls, if you really want to get behind the international scene, there is a prayer calendar, and there's also I've written a book, and it's called Far Beyond Expectation, and it's all about ordinary women like us who gave themselves over to the Lord and what he did with them. And it's not a history book or anything like that. And it's really exciting, and you'll get that in the book. Stall, you'll get it back here, and the prayer calendar. But do take a prayer calendar from that room and pray for the international board. And you see, Sharon has spoken of helping nationals, That's what we're doing. But we're backing up missionaries, we're backing up expats, we're backing up all sorts of people all over the world. Somebody was asked once, a little child was asked once, what she would like to be when she grew up. Oh, she said, I'd like to be a missionary on furlough. Many of us are like that. And it's amazing that even missionaries, even though when they're on furlough, they're still thinking of the field that they go to. I'm astounded at the number of women I talk to who are not really concerned about the lost, are not really concerned about the thousands of people who have never heard of Jesus. There are thousands of them in Australia now, you know. And there are thousands of them all around the world. A communist young man wrote this: the Christian gospel is much more powerful, a much more powerful weapon, for it is the renewal of society. It is a much more powerful weapon for the renewal of society than our Marxist view. Yet it is we communists who will conquer in the end. We are realists. And because we are determined to reach our object and also know how to provide the means, we will win. You Christians, however, only give a little time and hardly any money for the spreading of what you call good news. How can anyone believe in the all-surpassing value of the gospel if you scarcely practice it, if you do not work to spread it, if you sacrifice only a little of your time, money, and effort for that purpose? Believe me, we communists will win in the end because we believe in our message and are ready and willing to sacrifice everything, even our lives, so that social justice may triumph. But you Christians are so taken up with yourselves, you are afraid of becoming, involving, and soiling your hands. Girls, think. And you know, it's so true of so many of us. And that cry of Paul comes to you, to us all again this morning in Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. As we have listened this morning, I would say the challenge comes to every Christian woman here. How available to God are you for the mission field? I'm not thinking of missionaries in the sense of missionaries going for their whole lives. I'm thinking of us. I look round at all of you. And I think everyone here who knows and loves our Lord Jesus, totally and wholly committed to him. I mean, 12 men filled with the Holy Spirit turned the world upside down. What can 2,000 women filled with the Spirit do? And I see here that Paul cries out, I urge you to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, if you do this, if God is speaking to you about something, he may have spoken to you about something that Poppy has said, through what Poppy has said. He may have spoken to you through what we've heard about KYB and the radio ministry and Sharon and Margaret and Lynn. But he's speaking to you now. And it is amazing to me, God's wonderful condescension, that he would take hold of ordinary women like us and want to spread to a hungry, aching, sad world the wonderful news that Jesus Christ is alive. But as you present your bodies, don't forget the next bit, a living sacrifice. Jesus said, except a man take up the cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. And we are asked this morning to dedicate ourselves afresh, to take up the cross, and the cross speaks of death. Don't worry. Remember what Paul said? Death works in us, but life in you. And wherever you dare to take up the call of God this morning, to be a living sacrifice, you won't have to look round for anything. The lovely Holy Spirit will touch you and show you what you should do, but it will hurt and it will cost you. You may have to go without a new dress. I see a little one of our missionaries' children running in and saying, Auntie Jean, look at this. It's a new dress. Nobody's ever worn it before. You may be asked to go without a meal a week. I don't know what you'll be asked, but I know this, that if you present your body a living sacrifice this morning to this wonderful God who saved us from our sins, has forgiven our past, cleaned up our past, given us assurance of the future, now and of heaven, who's done so much for all of us, if we dare this morning to present our bodies. Doesn't matter what your body's like. Doesn't matter whether you're very active. It doesn't matter whether you're young or middle-aged or old. It doesn't matter whether you're incapacitated. It doesn't matter whether you're deaf or blind or what you are. He says, present your bodies. He doesn't say, I want fit and healthy bodies. I want very able bodies. I want young bodies. I want middle-aged bodies. I want old bodies. He wants us all. And the clarion call comes to us. Present your bodies a living sacrifice for whatever he asks of you.